Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. Matthew 12, 46 through 50. For while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. In this same chapter, in verse 15, the Bible tells us that great multitudes followed him, that's Jesus, and he healed them all. And so as we look at that particular statement and understand that this particular context has not changed, we know for a certainty that there are large crowds who've gathered around Jesus. And because of this great press of people, his own relatives were unable to visit with him. The Bible tells us in Mark 3:31, as we look at the other Gospels, that there was a great crowd of people and that Jesus was unable, or his people were unable, to visit with him. Mark 3 and verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. So we see a little different circumstance here. And the multitude sat about him. And they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Then in the book of Luke, we get some more information. Luke chapter 8 and verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My father and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. The will of the Father was of concern to Jesus. Not only that he would do the will of the Father, but that others also would do the will of the Father. And as we read these verses of Scripture, we see that one's family is intimately related and intertwined as one seeks to do the will of the Father. Sometimes this can be a blessing, and sometimes it is not a blessing. But we know that Jesus chose to continue teaching as he learned that his people were standing without, and in the book of Mark it says they were calling unto him. So we sort of get this overall picture as we read all of the gospel accounts of this particular circumstance in the life of Jesus. That great multitudes have followed him. Some evidently have sort of dropped by the wayside, and now he's gathered around him people, and they're sitting down and they're listening to him talk. And that's the word that's used here in Matthew, the word talk. He was talking to them. And this word doesn't mean that he was preaching or teaching. In other words, it's not the same word that's translated teaching. It's not the same word that's translated preaching. But it means to utter words and to speak and to more or less carry on a conversation. I think we might use the word chatting. Jesus was sitting down with his people, his disciples, his learners, and he was simply chatting with them. Perhaps they were quizzing him about some of the things that he'd said earlier about the Pharisees, the unpardonable or unforgivable sin. And evidently, as they were all gathered around him and he was talking, his mother and his brethren, we're not sure, it could refer to the sons of Mary, of course, who would be his half-brothers, if we have to use those specific theological terms, but it was his family. We know it was his mother who was there. And they called to him. Obviously, they'd been looking to have an opportunity to visit with him for quite some time. But he was preaching and teaching and healing. He'd been rebuking the Pharisees. Now, this is all sort of calmed down. They're all sitting around, and he is talking to his disciples with the multitude, the Bible tells us, that sat about him. Jesus recognized the presence of his mother and his brethren, and he realized that they were there. He did not rebuke his family for their interest in him as a person, nor for their interest in what he was doing. The Bible tells us that he loved his mother, and the Bible teaches us that he loved his brethren. But as we consider the relationship of Jesus to his earthly family, we know that he considered his ministry more important than his family. We also understand that his ministry did not exclude his family. And sometimes we get the idea as we read the Word of God, and the challenge is in it to hate in some sort of proportional way one's family in regard to one's love for God, and however that is to be interpreted. We get the idea that if a person cares for his family deeply, he may be lacking in his commitment to God. I don't believe that's true of Jesus, and I don't believe it's true of any man of God. That in order for us to serve God properly, there has to be some sort of a dropping away of family members. Now, I will say this, that sometimes family members can be a problem, but I don't think the family members of Jesus were a problem, and I don't think that's what we're looking at here. I think Jesus intended to do the will of the Father, and yet he recognized that he had earthly ties. As we look at these verses of Scripture, there's something that's very important for me and you in this, and that is that the will of God, that is doing the will of God, places those who do the will of God in a very close relationship. If we look at one another today, as we sit here this afternoon, and understand what Jesus said, when they said, your mother and your brethren are here, and as other gospel accounts tell us, are calling for thee, then Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? And then he looked at his disciples and said, behold my mother. Behold my brethren. Often these persons with whom we serve God become closer than our own blood relatives. And I think that's true of Southwest Church in many instances. I think that we have that kind of close personal relationship in this congregation where we look at people whom we consider to be as a mother, as a father, whom we consider to be our own kin and our own blood relatives almost, so that I feel as close to our people here as I did to my mother. I feel as close to people here as I do to my very own blood brothers. I feel as close to people here as I feel to my very own sisters in the flesh. And I believe this is what Jesus is saying. I haven't lost my family. I just have a rather large extended family. And to become a Christian where we are committed to do the will of God with those who are also committed to do the will of God, it's not as though our families are away from us, calling to us, and we have no family. But in the church of the living God, with those who are committed to do the will of God, we have an extended family so that we all have more fathers and more mothers and brothers and sisters than we ever had before. So Jesus realized that those who seek to do the will of God are not only his disciples, but also have another very close relationship. Jesus identified his disciples, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father." Here the word will can be translated or as a synonym, desire or wish. Then these people who are doing what God wants them to do are brothers and sisters and mothers. But what is God's will? You know, that's a puzzle many times. At least we give the impression that knowing God's will is a mystery, that it is obscure, that it's sort of a shot in the dark, and that no one can really know the will of God for their lives. And we sort of give the impression that we really like for it to be that way, because the more obscure we can make the will of God and the more mysterious we can make the will of God, then it sort of gives us some sort of feeling perhaps of reaching and searching and things of this nature. I think we can put the will of God in two distinct dimensions. Number one, the will of God for every human on the earth. And then God's special will for every individual. And when I think of God's will for every human being, that is that will that would be put in the first dimension, it is clarified in Luke 8:2. They are, in other words, who are the people who do God's will? Notice, they're these which hear the word of God and do it. And we see that all through the scriptures. Hear the word of God and do it. It is not hearing that makes us doers of God's will. It is hearing and doing, as Jesus said, the word of God. So as we look at the Word of God, what is the will of God for every human being? Number one, to repent of sins. And number two, to trust in Jesus Christ. Number three, to receive scriptural baptism. Number four, become a faithful church member. Number five, to bear spiritual fruit for God. That is the will of God for every person that lives on the earth. You say, but I thought it was the will of God for people to be saved, and after that they could be baptized if they wanted to, and after that they could go to church if they felt like it, and after that they could give if they had it, and after that they'd be kind if they felt so dispositioned to be kind. No, no. You have to hear the word of God, and you have to do it. And the Word of God teaches us that God would have every man to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Not just being saved. That is the will of God, but that's not the end of will of God. The end of the will of God is that we come to a knowledge of the truth and do it. So God's will for every human is salvation, baptism, New Testament church relationship or fellowship, and then bearing fruit. Spiritual fruit, that's mentioned in Peter and in the book of Galatians, which is love and meekness, kindness, and of course witnessing. All these are the things we do. All of these are the will of God. So we need not be in the dark, nor should it seem mysterious to us about the will of God. Now, the second dimension of the will of God has to do with where are we to serve God. That's where we begin to look for evidences through the providential hand of God, through things that we often call an inner urge or an inner desire, or perhaps not an inner urge or an inner desire. And I think I've seen this in my life. I honestly and sincerely believe that it was the will of God for me to pastor the first church I pastored, which was in North Central Arkansas. I believe that. I believe it was the will of God for me and for Betty to go to Forest City. We went there, and it was. I didn't feel a tug of the flesh. We were there. We looked at the people, and it just felt like. And then you say, "Well, how do you know if it just feels like?" That's our problem. Didn't seem any way at that time to know for sure, but we accepted it. I look back on those 7.5 years or so, and I really believe strongly it was the will of God. And when it comes to places, we know more surely the will of God after we've been there than we do when we go. I believe it was God's will for me to go to the First Baptist Church of Cave City. I stayed there 5 years. I believe it's been the will of God for me to be here. I believe it has been the will of God. You know, I have never preached in view of a call since I came here in 1969. Why didn't I? Well, I did have a few offers from time to time from people who didn't know me, and I didn't go. You say, "Well, you just didn't feel like it." I don't know. I might have been just too lazy to move. You know, sometimes we can get the will of God confused with other things. But I honestly, sincerely, looking at it, believe that it was will of God then. I believe it's the will of God now. So it takes more than simply looking at the Word of God for us to feel or to have some consolation that we are at the place that God wants us. It's more difficult. Therefore, it calls for patience and courage to wait on God to show us in some way in which we will know and have confidence and faith that we are in that place where God wants us. And sometimes it takes a while, sometimes it doesn't. I know sometimes seem like simple transition, and sometimes it seems like it's painful. But knowing the will of God is possible. Waiting for God to show us His will, sometimes we fall prey to urgency. We just feel like that everything is so urgent, we better do it, we've got to do it. And in that urgency can become a tyrant and drive us to places that God has not willed for us to be. So we have to watch that urgency in all of us to preach and teach and do what God wants us to do so as to give God time to open places and to get us places where He wants to be. But it is a good feeling to lie down at night and say to yourself, "I am in the will of God." That doesn't mean you're sinless, doesn't mean you're perfect, doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. But you feel in your heart, and it's not contradicted by the Word of God, that you are where God wants you to be. And that is possible for us to be where God wants us to be. Sometimes it takes a little longer than at other times. But as I said, it is always God's will for people to be saved. It's always God's will to have them follow in scriptural baptism. It's always God's will for us to be members of His New Testament church.